I'd like to thank God for the praise team for leading us through praise this morning. See, those songs right there kind of hit home for me. Because there's a lot of things going on in my life, and I'm sure there's a lot of things going on in your life. And there's some things that I got to let go. And I just got to give it to God. And wait on Him. And just wait on Him to work. I'm trying not to let my tears fall right now. Y'all. God is good. God is good. It's funny because last week I requested that the praise team sing a certain song. And they wasn't able to sing the song, but I thank God for what they did do here this morning, because what they sung is just what I needed. So we thank God for our praise team. So let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for being all that You are. We thank You for touching our lives, Lord, the way that You have, Lord. We thank You for intervening when we needed You most, for just stepping in and removing things out of our way, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Lord, we ask You to be in this service, Lord, if You would clear our minds, Lord, so we can focus on Your word, Lord. Open our hearts so we can receive Your word, Lord. Lord, we ask You to take this broken vessel to speak to the broken people. And when it's said and done, You put us all back together again. In Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we will begin in verse 5. And as you are turning, I would like to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to speak in front of y'all this morning. Romans 10, verse 5. The word of God reads, "For Moses writes that the law ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith ways of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." You may be seated. I'd like to speak on the subject this morning, the box. The box. In September 2016, my wife took me to Daytona Beach to celebrate my birthday. we went to a place, and she surprised me because it was something that I said that I wanted to do. We went to a place, it was an escape room, and it was called the Daytona Jail. And when we went inside the place, again, I didn't know where we was at first, so we went inside the place, and of course my eyes got big once we walked in there. And it was one gentleman in there, and he started explaining the rules. And he let us know that if any time that you get stuck, that I have the master key to come and let you out. So he locks us up in this jail cell. So we had to run around the jail cell, and it's being timed. So we're running around the jail cell reading clues, trying to figure out where the key is to let us out the jail. So we're running around and we're finding different clues, and we're going, running from corner to corner of the jail. And we found one clue that we both figured out that we had to go inside of the toilet. And so we both standing there and looking, and we like, nah, he's not asking us to do that because there was something inside of it. So then a voice came across the speaker and said, pick it up. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me. I'm like, pick it up? Of course, she's like, you the man. So I reach down and I pick it up, and there's the key to let us out the cell. So we get out the cell, but we're still stuck in the room. So we had to run around again, finding different clues to get out of the room. So we finally get out of that room, and we're in another room. And this room, we don't have to find the key, but we have to find the combination. So once we find the combination of getting out of that room, there's a hallway full of laser beams. And one of us have to go over to the door to get through the laser beams to finally get the key to come back to turn off the laser beams to open up the door to let us out. We finally get out, and I believe that we got out, it was somewhere between 40 minutes. It took us about 40 minutes, but the man did say that was one of the fastest times that they had. Not the fastest. I was going to show a picture of us taking with it because it has Daytona Jail on it. But we was around, but if you look on the wall behind the picture, there was people that was getting out in 23 minutes, 20 minutes. Yeah, so he said we were still one of the fastest. So that tells us that it was some people. Well, he told us that some people, it took hours to get out of there. But when I think back on that story, we were in a box. And every time we thought we would get out the box, we was back in the box. But there was a man on the outside that was talking to us on the inside, giving us the clues, giving us the way to get out. And this man had the master key to let us out the whole time. See, I bring that up because one thing that I've been hearing over the years, and I'm sure that y'all have been hearing, is that Christians live in a box. We're stuck in this box when the reality is we're on the outside of the box. And those who don't know is on the inside of the box. In Romans, Paul is speaking to the church in Rome. He is speaking to the Roman Christians. And in verse 5, he says, for Moses writes that the law's ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of his commandments. The first point here that he brings up is that the law lives inside. The law lives inside the box. He says that Moses writes that the law's ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commandments. He is explaining that there was one time where in order to be right with God, you had to obey all of his commandments.
Right.
Now, this wasn't per God. And even though he said that Moses wrote it, it wasn't per Moses. This was per God. This was the message that God gave to Moses to give to the people. If you would turn with me to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18, verse 1. When you have it, signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Leviticus 18, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God. So do not act like the people in Egypt, where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan, where I am taking you. You must not imitate their ways of life. You must obey all my regulations and be careful to obey my decrees. For I am the Lord your God. If you obey my decrees and my regulations, you will find life through them. I am the Lord." So he was telling them that if you obey all my commandments, all my decrees, all my regulations, you can find life.
That's right.
Only problem with that is that, for one, it was only given to Israel. So only those that was part of Israel can have life by obeying these commandments. Number two, the law was perfect. The law was perfect. But we were imperfect people. So you had imperfect people trying to obey a perfect law, which had you trapped inside of a box. Because there is no way that you see, some of y'all thinking, well, he only gave them 10 commandments. You tell me that they couldn't obey 10 commandments? Nah, it was more than 10 commandments. It was 613 of them. If you were to continue to read in Leviticus, you will start seeing that there was way more than 10. 613 commandments that they had to obey. Imperfect people. Listen, most of us today can't even obey the speed laws of the road. And you're talking about obeying 613 laws. So then you must ask yourself, well then, could you gain life then through these commandments? And the answer is yes, you could. In Ezekiel, the law says, Ezekiel 20:11, God says, "I gave them my decrees and regulations so they could find life by keeping them." So you could have, only problem is you wasn't good enough. You wasn't good enough to keep all 613 of them. And if you broke one, you've broken them all. See, the people are saying, well, the law is for y'all Christians. That's for y'all. But it's not for us. It's for them. Galatians 3. If we turn to Galatians 3, Galatians chapter 3, and go to verse 10. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So, whether you observe them or not, you ain't got to observe them to be in that box. So if you observe them, it says that you're cursed. And if you don't observe them, you're cursed. You're in that box. See, if you don't observe them, that means you don't know which laws you're breaking. And if you do observe them, well, you've realized that there's no way you can fulfill them all. So you're within that box. Now, here's the thing about people that are in the box. They want to redecorate the box. They want to change rules. They want to change the laws. They want to change the way God look at things. They want to bring Christ down from heaven to be on their level. They like to think that they have all power to raise him from the dead. If you go back to Romans, it says, for Moses writes that the law's ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of his commandments. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say who will go to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. He's saying, don't say who can go to heaven to bring Christ down to earth to your level. And don't think that you so good in power that you have the power to raise him from the dead. God has already done both of those. God has already sent his son here. And now he has ascended. He has already raised him from the dead. You don't have that type of power to bring him back from heaven. Our second point is faith lives outside. Faith lives outside. He says again in 6, but faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go to heaven to bring Christ down to earth. And don't say who will go to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. It says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. He said, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. The message is so close that you can taste it. It's right there. You can feel it. It's that close to you. He said that it's so close that it's on your lips and in your heart. It is so close to you. All you have to do is reach out. All you have to do is reach out. It says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. It says, and that message is the very message about faith that we preach. It's the very message about faith that we preach. This message about faith that we preach allows you to be rescued out of the box. This message that we preach allows you to be rescued out of the box. It does not confine you in a box. The world may try to make you think that Christians are being confined, but we're not. I'm more free now than I've ever been. How many people in here is free? How many is free? I'm more free now than I've ever been. Even when I thought I was out, I wasn't out before. When I thought I was doing my own thing out there in the world, doing my thing, I didn't realize I was just trying to change the rules. I was just trying to redecorate the box.
That's right. That's right.
He says, and that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Here's that message. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus will reach down and pull you out of the box. You will be rescued out of the box. If you declare him Lord, if you declare Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. That simple. But we in the box. But it's that simple. You just have to believe. You just have to have faith. It's that simple. 10 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So it's believing in your heart. Listen, it's not just saying Jesus is Lord. It's declaring Jesus is Lord. Meaning Jesus is Lord. Meaning that Jesus is my Lord. Meaning that Jesus lords over my life. It's more than just saying it. It's a heart condition. You have to receive it. You have to believe it. And you have to allow him the Lord over your life. Amen. A lot of times we believe or we say a lot of things. But sometimes you don't believe it until you see it. For those who still don't believe, I say give them a try. Those who do not believe, I say give them a try. Mm-hmm. 10 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Get out of the box. Stop living in the box. Give yourself to Christ. Allow him to lord over your life. This message that we preach, this message that we teach, is a saving message. This message saves you from being confined. This message lifts the curse of the law off of you. Go back to Galatians. Go back to Galatians 3. We was in 10 last time. So Galatians 3, and let's go to verse 11. It says, so it is clear that no one can be saved, can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture says, it is through faith that that a righteous person has life. That is why this way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it was written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise, Holy Spirit through faith.
Amen.
There is a curse that is on humanity that comes from the law, because you're not perfect enough to obey the law. Whether you want to obey them or not, that choice is yours. But the curse is still there. But he tells us by our faith in Jesus Christ, it says that he saves us from the curse that is put on us by the law. He saves us. Listen, Matthew 5, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Which means that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. You no longer have to try to obey every commandment of the law. All you have to do is accept him as Lord and Savior, allow him to lord over your life and follow him. Listen, when you give your life to Christ, Jesus says, follow me. Jesus picked up the box of the law and says, follow me. I'm going to get you to your destination of life.
All right.
He says, so we're on a journey.
Yeah.
And we're going to go down. You're going to follow me. Just keep following me. Keep following me. But along the way, I want you to stop right here, because there's a man over there that needs a little money for something to eat. I want you to go over there and give that man a little money. You know, show a little love to him. You know, come on back. Keep following me. Keep following me. Keep following me. I want you to go down here. You see them three guys hanging on side of the store. I want you to walk over there and just tell them that Jesus loves them. You ain't got to get in. I know they look like they might rob you. Just go over there. Tell them Jesus loves you. Keep following me. Following me the whole time. He got the law right here. Keep going with him. Come on, come on, come on. I need to stop by their house. Wait a minute. That's my Uncle John John house. I know. I need you to go in there and talk to me. Me and Uncle John John don't like each other. I need you to go in there, talk to Uncle John John, tell Uncle John John that you love him. And after you tell him, look, you come on back out here and you keep following me. You keep following me. The whole time he got the law right here in his hand, and you don't have to obey every law. All you got to do is follow him. And he's going to get you to the destination. There may be some stops along the way that you have to do, but you're going to make it to your destination if you got your faith in Christ.
That's it. All right.
He says, going back to Romans, he says, Jews and Gentiles are the same in this aspect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. I'm sorry. Let's go back up to 11. I'm sorry. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Meaning that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He will never leave you hanging. He will never disgrace you. He said that he will be with you to the end of ages. He's going to do what he said he would do. He's never let me down. Even when I thought he wasn't there, he ended up showing up. Listen, I was just talking to my son this morning, and I was telling him, it was just this week, I was like, wow, It's some things I was telling him that, dude, we got a lot of bills that kind of hit at the same time. And I'm like, whoo. And you know me, I'm a barber, so I don't go work out. I don't get paid hourly. I get paid as haircuts come in. And sometimes I'm at work sleeping because haircuts ain't coming in. And so I'm telling him, like, listen, this is how the Lord works. Because all week I'm cutting hair, but at the end of the day, I'm like, this ain't going to be enough. This ain't going to be enough. Yesterday when I get home, me and the wife is in the room. We separate and stuff. And I'm telling her, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, this is for that. This is for that. This is for that. And we got something to spare. Listen, that's how God works. He won't let you down. He won't disgrace you. This is how he works. You just have to put your faith in him. He won't leave you. Now we can go to 12. 12 says, Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. They have the same Lord. No one is left out. Jews and Gentiles. Remember, in the beginning, the law was just given to Israel. It was just given to Israel. So those outside of Israel, they didn't have a chance. They didn't even have the law. So they were just doing their own thing. He says, in this respect, Jews and Gentiles are the same. That means that everyone has a chance of getting out the box. All right. All right. It's no more living in the box if you don't want to. Amen. The message is so close. He said it's on your lips and in your heart. It's right there. Just touch it. Just reach out. Just give God your yes. He says in 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's one of my favorite verses right there. Because it leads me to Acts 4. If you would turn to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. And this is when Peter and John was arrested for healing the man and preaching the word of God. And now they're standing in front of the council. And they start to speak to the council. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Sorry. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. The man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other name except Jesus Christ by which we shall be saved. That's it. That's the name. Going back to Romans 10, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You have to call on his name. It tells us that we have to declare Jesus is Lord. Call on his name. Give him your yes. Make him Lord over your life. Because that's the only way. The only way you'll get in out of the box is to make him Lord over your life. Now, point three, believers walk outside. Believers walk outside. Because we have faith. The believers have faith which delivers us, which saves us from being inside the box. God reaches down and grabs us. But now we have to walk in faith. We have to walk outside the box. See, some of us like being saved and being confined to our homes. All right. 14 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Believers, we have a job. We have a job to do. Our job is to bring people closer to Christ so he can save them. That's right. Understand this. You can't save them.
That's right.
First of all, you're imperfect.
Yeah, all right.
And you have no heaven or hell to put them in.
Right.
You can't save them. But he wants us to talk to them. He wants us to speak to him. He wants us to tell them about him.
Yes.
He wants us to love on them.
Yes.
He wants us to let them know that you don't have 613 commandments, laws, regulations, decrees out here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. He says, but how can they call on him to be saved unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? We have to tell them about him. We have to tell them how good he is to us. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? He is sending us. He is sending us to talk to the people. He is sending us. The box that they are in, he is sending us up to their box to talk to them, to introduce them to the man that can get them out of the box. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He has given us a mission. Our mission is to go and teach people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. Now, I know that there's some people out here that's saying, wait a minute, he says to obey all commands. To obey all commands. Well, I done told you, Jesus is the fulfillment of the commandments. But he did give us two commandments. He did give us two, which is in Matthew 22, 37 and 40, which says that, one, we ought to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and two, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say, all other commandments hangs on these two. Is loving that hard? Is loving that hard? See, a lot of people say, I love everybody. You love people on a human level. That's not a godly love that you have. Godly love is outside the box. See, your love that you have has restrictions on it. I love you if you love me back. I love you as long as you don't cross me. I love you as long as you love everybody else around me. You have restrictions on your love. God don't have no restrictions on his love. That's a different type of love. We call it agape. It's a different type of love. He said to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you wouldn't do it to yourself, don't do it to your neighbor. He says we are to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Jesus only gave you two. He only gave you two. He said, follow me, and you only got to obey these two. Follow me, I got you. I just need you to love on some people. Love God, love on some people. That's all he's giving you. Going back to Romans. Romans 15 says again, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. I'm going to tell y'all a story. I asked my wife permission, could I tell a couple stories about her and about us? So she gave me permission before y'all start looking crazy. Now, when me and my wife rekindled our relationship back in 2010, one of the things she told me is that she has this one ugly toe, right? And the story behind that ugly toe was that she had stepped on something and it was stuck inside the toe, and when she was telling people, look at it, no one believed her. They would look at it, and they wouldn't see anything. And she would tell them, I'm telling you, there's something in my toe. Till she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her some stuff to put on it to draw out whatever was in there. And so whatever was in there, it finally came out. And it was out by the time 2010 came, where we rekindled our relationship. It was out, but the toe had, and she said it was ugly, right? But she had faith that it was going to be beautiful again. And just let you know, my wife do have some beautiful feet. So she was putting stuff on day after day on that ugly toe. She kept putting stuff on it, kept putting stuff on. Time went by. I'm saying, wait, when I say time, I'm like, a year went by, I'm still looking at the toe like it's still ugly. But she's still putting stuff on the toe. To the point where it became, you know, she done it so regular, I don't even think about it when she's, you know, was putting the stuff on the toe. Within the last year or something, so I look at the foot and the ugly toe is gone. Right? Because she had faith that it was going to happen. Now, since 2010 and working on my feet, standing on my feet all day for 18 years behind a barber's chair, my feet ain't no good, y'all. She be like, if you don't get them things off me, But the word says how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers. Y'all have to remember, these are, in these times, they didn't have Jordans on. They didn't have, I wear Air Maxes standing behind that chair and my feet toe up. These men and women had on sandals, walking. They didn't have cars. He told them to go throughout the nation. They didn't have cars. They didn't even have a bicycle. They was walking. And they were delivering that word to the people. And God looks at them and says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers. Listen, believers, we have to go out and teach and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. You're out the box. Yes. We have to allow Christ to rescue others out the box. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand to your feet. Amen. As our counselors come down, we'd like to open up the doors of the church. If you are here today, and God has been talking to you, God has been speaking to you, He is telling you that it is time for you to get out of that box. He is telling you that it is time for you to give Him your heart. We open the doors up the church to you and ask you to come down and give us your hand, but give God your heart. We are simple people. We go through the book of the Bible one verse at a time. If you're here today and you are already saved, but you're looking for a church home, we ask you also to come down. We invite you to be part of this family. The doors of the church is open. Will you come? Amen.